Hello and welcome to St. Martin's Church at North Nibley on this, the first Sunday of Advent. The Lord be with you and also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus said, "Before you offer your gift, go and be reconciled." As brothers and sisters in God's family, we come together to ask our Father for forgiveness. And so together we pray, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you through our own fault, in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. The collect for today, that special prayer written for the first Sunday of Advent. Almighty God, as your kingdom dawns, turn us from the darkness of sin to the light of holiness, that we may be ready to meet you in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first reading comes from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from Romans chapter 13, and this reading, I can't read it without thinking of that wonderful sermon by dear Ian Marchant, which involved the chainsaw. You may have been there on that day. And do this understanding in the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, nor in sexual immorality and debauchery, nor in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Here endeth the reading. And hear the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 14, beginning at the 36th verse. But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, the people were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. And that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The story of Noah's Ark in Genesis is probably one of, if not the best known Bible stories ever. Everybody knows it. It's a very visual story, and the pictures of the animals entering the ark two by two is ingrained from our childhood, whether we are Christian or not. What is possibly not quite so vivid in the minds of children listening to or reading the story is the reason why Noah was told to build the ark in the first place. God was so disappointed in his efforts at the creation of the human race that, with the exception of Noah, his close family and one breeding pair of each animal and bird, he destroyed it and started all over again. He didn't just destroy the humans, he destroyed the animal kingdom as well. Just like an artist might paint over a canvas on which the picture won't develop as the artist sees it in his mind's eye, and that he just starts all over again. The funny thing is, the human race is minuscule. It's just a handful of atoms in comparison with the rest of the universe, and the universe had turned out all right. What was the problem with the human race? The problem with the human race was, and still is, that we've been given the gift of free will. Well, I mean, God could have reversed that, couldn't he? He could have taken away the gift of free will quite easily. But that wasn't what he wanted to do. So he destroyed us and began again. Ah, you might think, but aren't we back at square one? Our God-given free will has brought us to a point today where the world is at war, the streets are unsafe even in daylight, we are bombarded with online scams, bank security alerts, false news, some pretty vile online things aimed at children, politicians and leaders around the world who are only interested in their own power and greatness, and so it goes on. So has God failed again? Is God going to come and destroy us again and be done with it? Apparently not. We read in John chapter 3, verse 16, those incredible words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's at this point that I stop understanding. I can believe that God exists and that he was incarnate in the baby whose birth we celebrate in 4 weeks' time. I can believe that he died on a cross to atone our sin, my sin, your sin. I can believe that he rose again and ascended into heaven. But what I can't understand is why he wanted to. Why he wanted to give us that chance. Why he wanted to take on our sin. And before you all come up to me at coffee and say it's because he loves us, I know that he loves us. I know that very well, but I still don't understand why. We are so insignificant as to not matter, one would think. So for whatever reason, after the great flood, God doesn't want to destroy us again. Instead, he will come to us physically a second time and he will make all things new. No more war, no more hunger, no more tears for those who believe in him. That is an incomprehensible thought. He loves us that much. We, on the other hand, run a bit hot and cold, don't we? We tend to concentrate on those things that are most important to us at the time. A broken pane of glass in the greenhouse remains broken because, although it was at the top of the list 3 years ago, something else, now so unimportant that I can't remember what it was, took its place. During the period that the deputy labour leader scandal was blowing up, Ukraine didn't get a look in during the news bulletins. Same again when Mr. Mountbatten, formerly Prince Andrew, was having his character mercilessly assassinated. Gaza wasn't mentioned. It's a human trait that we hone in on the latest thing of interest and everything else slides down the list. What today's readings are telling us, all three of them, is that we'd better not let our discipleship slide down the list. There is no suggestion in Genesis that any of Noah's neighbours asked him why he was building an enormous ark in the middle of a desert. And if they had asked him why he was building an enormous ark in the middle of the desert, I don't expect that they would have thought anything of it other than to think that he was a nutcase. The signs were there for the reading, but no one bothered to read them. Advent is a time to read those signs and for us to act on them. Amen. So, let us affirm together our common faith in Jesus Christ. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us, and rose again? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God, the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world? We believe and trust in him. This is the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are the body of Christ. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. And so the peace of the Lord be with each one of you and those that you love, and also with you. And now we come to our time of prayer, where we pray for the world. Eternal God, on this first Sunday of a new church year, we sing with joy in anticipation for the coming of God to earth at Christmas. Help us to sow peace around us, live like Jesus and pave the way for the King as he comes to reign as the Prince of Peace, giving people a glimpse of his kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, hear us today in our words of prayer, in each scripture that we hear, in our silent thoughts and pleas. And may our worship today connect us with heaven and unite our hearts with the sound of eternity. We thank you for the music of your creation all around us, the sound of life, the lapping of the waves, the roar of the wind, the purring of a cat, and the persisting calls of the birds. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for your church throughout the world, for those people persecuted for the faith. We pray for their safety and ask you to give their praise the strength to convince and convert, the power to ward off war and division, and the love to bring peace. And we especially pray for the meaningful peace between Ukraine and Russia, Israel and Gaza. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, drive away despair from our politics. Revive our dreams of justice and truth, and restore our passion for what is good and right. Establish your just and gentle rule throughout the world where there is conflict and where peace has been powerless and violent people hold sway. We pray for all those who lead the nations of the world and for those in authority, that they may always work for peace and for the good of their people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, in our daily life, help us never to forget the supremacy of love. May love motivate the way we live our lives in our neighbourhoods, throughout our parishes and benefice, helping to heal those situations which so often drag us into despair. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, we pray for all those grieving. We pray for the lonely, the lost, and the bereaved. We pray especially for those who've lost their voice and feel silenced or oppressed. May we, as your disciples, bring light into dark places. Restore hope and vision to all who struggle, and bring well-being and comfort to all those who suffer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, give us ears to hear and minds to understand the message of immortality, for the children of your kingdom, so that we may look forward with patience and confidence to that time when we will join you in the peace of eternity. We especially pray for any we know recently who died and are now on that journey to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, during this season of Advent, as we move towards the festivities of Christmas, we pray that peace will flow from all of our actions and interactions this week. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we say together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.